Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Zvachim, Daf Kuf Yod Bet Amud Aleph, about to begin our study of the final chapter of Masechet Zvachim. It has been a very exciting and productive time together. Yitzchak Hashem, within a few short podcasts, we will be making a siyum on Masechet Zvachim. However, we face a particular pedagogic challenge when it comes to this final parak, because as you can see, the entire chapter of Mishnayot is laid out first before any of the Gemara. This is something we've encountered before, notably in the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Aleph, in the beginning of Masechet Shavuot, and in the middle of Masechet Shavuot, Perek He, Perek Vav. But the difference is that in those instances, the entire Perek of Mishnayot was really one unit, which is necessary to be able to understand any of the Gemara. And therefore, that's how the editors presented it. That is not the case in our chapter, where each one of the Mishnayot really stands separately. And therefore, even though it is presented in the text as a flow, we are going to study Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and then go immediately to the Gemara in Mishnah Aleph, and that will be this first podcast. Then we'll go back to Mishnah Bet, and the second podcast will be Mishnah Bet and its attendant Gemara, etc., until we finish the Perek. Parat Chatat. Now this chapter continues and concludes the issues relating to Shchutei Chutz and Ha'ala B'Chutz. Parat Chatat Shesofa Chutz Migita. If a Para Aduma was burned outside of its proper place, we'll see what that means. V'chein Sa'ir Mishtaleach Shekiv B'Chutz, or if the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach that is sent out on Yom Kippur was offered up outside, Patur. Neither of those fall under the rule of Shchutei Chutz. Shneamar ve'al petach ol moed lo havio. The prohibition is don't bring it to petach ol moed. Kol she'en ravui la petach ol avo petach ol moed en chayavin alav. Anything that's not supposed to go to petach ol moed carries no liability. Skip ahead to Daf Kuf Yod Gimel Amud Aleph near the top to the Gemara. My chutz migita. When we say parad ma chutz migita, what does that mean? Amar Resh Lakish chutz makom habadukla. That there was a particular place that they would check to make sure it was tahor, that there was no graves underneath, tumata tahom, and that was the place where the paraduma was burnt. If you burn it outside of there, then it is nonetheless not chayav, but that is called out of its place. Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan turned to him and said, "V'alo kol Eretz Yisrael b'dukahi. All of Eretz Yisrael is cleared of such tumah. In other words, cemeteries are marked, and otherwise we don't have such a worry. That's why the gzerah of Tumat Eretz Ha'amim, but not on Eretz Yisrael. Ella Amar B'Yochanan, he says, Kigon Sheshchata Lifni Min Chomat Yerushalayim. What does the Mishnah mean, Chutz Migita? If you brought it inside the city of Yerushalayim and slaughtered it there, that is Chutz Migita, but nonetheless you're Patur. Now, V'Log Mungon Sheshachta Chutz L'Chomat Shalokanen on a Petach. Wait a second, Rabbi Yochanan, as we're going to see in a moment, insists that the para has to be slaughtered in a place that faces the opening of the Azara and the opening of the Hechal, Kenegar HaPetach, and therefore, why doesn't he just say, if you slaughtered it somewhere not on that line? And in the next pasuk it says, V'hizah, and Hazaa is Kenegar HaPetach, meaning when you spritz the blood, when the para is slaughtered, it has to be facing the Petach. You're outside of the city, of course, but you're to the east of the city, and you're facing the Petach. Therefore, since it says V'shachat, and then V'hizan, the next Pasuk, Ma'azata k'negra Petach, Hav Shchitata k'negra Petach. The Shchita has to be at that same spot. Chitayim Adol Makish, perhaps Rabbi Yochanan doesn't accept that Hekesh. V'aitma, we have the following statement. Shchata shlo k'negra Petach, Rabbi Yochanan omer psula, psula, k'z V'shachat V'hizah. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that if you shecht in a place that's not facing the Petach, it's pasul, because of a shachat v'izah. Rish Lakish amar k'shera, because of mechutz to machaneh v'shachat. It just has to be outside of the machaneh. In any case, if Arnami shrafa shelo gonna get a Petach, if you burned it in a place that's not facing the Petach, v'chamar psula, v'shay amar k'shera. Why? V'chamar psula v'saraf v'izah. You also have a saraf after v'izah, another hekesh. We have it all on the handout. Roshai Mark Shira, why? Because Al Pirshai Yisrof. Literally, it means you burn it with its dung, but the drasha is Makom Sheporeshet Lemita, the place that it leaves this life. Shamte Srefata. You burn it wherever you shechted it. Roshai says you could shecht it anywhere outside of the city, therefore you burn it anywhere outside of the city. Hazaa has to be done elsewhere, facing the Petah. All right. So why did Rabbi Yochanan pick a case where you burned it, where you shechted it in the city? He could have picked a case where you shechted it anywhere outside, as long as it's not keneged hapetach. So Amri, let me buy a kamar. The answer they gave in the Beit Midrash was that Rabbi Yochanan was picking a more obvious case, meaning lo mi bai chutz the chomad derechuk yerachaka. He was addressing a more obvious case. Certainly, when you go further away from its proper place, then it's pasul. El afil efimina chomad the kuvei karva. I would think if you brought it into the city, you bring it closer to the mikdash. Maybe it should be kasher. Kamash malan, then it's pasul. And so the Rabbi Yochanan picks that as the poster child of a para out of its place, and therefore he uses it also here to say that even though you brought it into the city, you're still not chayav for shchutei chutz. Okay, Amar Mar, and now we're going to go on to a fairly long tangent about the dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about what the status of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis buried graves. Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo keretz obaduka he, but my kemi palgi. What's the disagreement about? Mar savar yarad mabul Eretz Yisrael, Mar savar lo yarad. The machloket is whether the mabul in Noach's times hit the land of Israel or Eretz Yisrael was protected. Because if Eretz Yisrael was protected, then you don't have these ancient dead underneath. Rachma Yitzchak Ushne Mikra Chad Dashu, and they're both playing off of Pasuk in Yechezkel. Ben Adam Emorla At Eretz Lo Metohara, he Lo Gushma B'Yom Za'am. Now how do you read that? Yocham Savar Tmui Metamekra. The text is read as a rhetorical question. Meaning, Eretz Lo Milo Metohara, Eretz Yisrael At Lo Metohara, you didn't have the rain come on the day of anger, so aren't you tahor? Slokis safar kipshate, read it straightforward as a declarative. Eretz lo metoharat, you're a land that's not tahor. Because after all, milo yadu alayach shamim biyom zam, by the way, you have to read one or the other phrase as a rhetorical question. In other words, did rain not fall on you on the day of anger? Okay, so now we have two different ways of looking at it. And of course, choosing to read the pasuk one way or the other is going to definitely depend on what your notion about the Mabul coming there to Israel would be. And here are some of the arguments back and forth. This is the first one, a very famous story we saw several times. That they had courtyards in Yerushalayim that were built on rock, and underneath there was an empty space. To make sure that that area underneath did not have any ancient graves. With the women who would come when they were pregnant, and they would give birth to their children underneath there. Those children would be the children who would work, this is the Mishnah and Para, that would would then be the ones to go and get the water for the Mechatat. They would put boards on top of the oxen, and the kids would sit on top of the oxen. And they would have stoneware cups, and they would dip down and get the water out and sit there, so there would be nothing that could become Tameh here. But what does that tell you? That tells you that we are concerned about Tumah in Eretz Yisrael. So his answer is very simple, that we put an extra measure of concern and care when it comes to the Parah Tumah, but it doesn't mean that there's a real concern. Okay, it's Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Now Rabbi Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish. Pamachad matzu atzamot plishkat dir ha'itzim. One time in the mikdash, in the office where they kept the wood, where they collected the wood, they found a bone. Ubikshulig zar tumal Yerushalayim. The rabbi said, we gotta make a gzerah, we found the bones here, therefore we gotta make a gzerah that all of Yerushalayim is tameh. Amar Yeshua raglavi amar. Yeshua got up. If this is Rabbi Shuban Hananiah, it's very strange because he's only operating after the Churban. But he said, "Lo bushach limahi lanush nixor tumal ir avotenu." It would be such a shame to say that our city, our ancestral city of Yerushalayim, is tamei. Ayeme tei mabul, ayeme tei Nebuchadnezzar. Where are the dead of the flood? Where are the dead of Nebuchadnezzar? So now, midika amar hachi. This is Rabbi Yochanan's claim. Lav lemeber lohavu. Doesn't that indicate that he believes they were never there? But the answer to that is v'tamech ugani Nebuchadnezzar achinam lohavu. Listen to his statement. He said, where are the dead of the Mabul? Where are the dead of Nebuchadnezzar? Are you going to say there were no dead of Nebuchadnezzar when the Babylonians conquered in the summer of 586? Elahavu upaninu. The answer is they were there, and Rabbi Yeshua's position was that they were reinterred. So therefore, B'nei Mabul were there, but they were reinterred. that comes back to a shlokesh for ipanu ipani. If you say that they got all the dor the metei mabul and they reinterred them, then they're not there anymore. So why do you need to have a special place that's paduk? The answer is nihidi ipani Yerushalayim michula Eretz Yisrael ipani. Yes, they were all moved out of Yerushalayim, so the city would be tahor, but not from the Eretz Yisrael. Now, ikadamrei to Rosh Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Some people think Rosh Lakish used this story of Rabbi Shua's declaration against Rabbi Yochanan. He said, "Iyei metem abu etem nevuchadnezzar." So doesn't that tell you that just like Metei Nebuchadnezzar certainly existed, Metei Mabul also were in Eretz Yisrael? The answer is Midiyurya, who said, Hakarite, maybe each thing is separately. Maybe it means Metei Nebuchadnezzar, we know we're moved, and Metei Mabul never happened here. All right, Eitave. So now it's another challenge of Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Mikol Asher Bechar Vemetu, in describing the Mabul, says everything that was on land died. Which means everywhere. So according to me, Rabbi Shlokesh said, I claim that the Mabul hit Eretz Yisrael. That's why they died. But according to your Rabbi Yochanan, why did they die if the flood didn't get there? The answer is Mishum Hevla, because of the heat. What heat? The people of the Mabul sinned because of their hot blood, sexual desire. Therefore, they were judged with hot water, which means that the waters of the Mabul were boiling water, and that's how they were cooked. Dichtiv hacha, vayashoku amayim, when the waters subsided, it says, vayashoku amayim, chitiv hatam, in Megillat Esther, v'chamatam alach shachacha, the king's anger subsided. So you see, that same word is associated with boiling. And, okay, fine, but the problem, of course, is that that doesn't solve anything for Yochanan, because that means still everybody in Eretz Yisrael died, just not from the water. So the argument might be, that if they died of the flood, then they would be buried deep. If on the other hand they died because of hot air or because of something noxious in the environment, they'd be buried shallow and be easy to find them and to move them. Perhaps. Ika da Amri. Some people think that Rabbi Yochanan actually used this pasuk b'charva against Rabbi Shlokesh. Eitu Rabbi Yochanan b'shlokesh. Mikol asher b'charva meitu. So b'shlo adidi aminu le'ar mabul Eretz Yisrael. I claim there was no mabul in Israel mishum hachi avi charava. That's why it says charava. Everybody on dry land died. According to your Shlokesh, why is it called Charava? The answer is Charava Shaitami Kara, meaning the original dry land, everything on there died. My Karli Charava. So why did the Torah say Mikol Asher B'Charava? Why didn't it say Mikol Asher B'Tevel? Everybody in the world? The answer is Kerav Chista. The Rav Chista, Bedor Mabul, Lo Nigzera Gzeral, Dagim Shabayam. To teach you, the fish weren't killed, and there was no decree against the fish in the Dor Mabul. Shinamar Mikol Asher B'Charava Meitu. Everything on dry land died, Velo Dagim Shabayam. And not the fish. Okay, now Bishlam on the Manalo Yarim Bulal Eretz Yisrael. Now Rabbi Yochanan gets a leg up. Hakam Rei Mahatam. That's where the Re'em, which is this huge oryx, a huge antelope or buffalo type animal that Chazal understood was around. That's how it was saved. Because it went to Eretz Yisrael where there was no Mabul. Adam or Yarad, Rei Mahechakam. So how did the Re'em get saved? It's a land animal, and evidently it's humongous. So Amrav Yanai Guriot Tichnisu Teva. They brought cubs onto the Teva, not full-grown animals. Amrav Machana, in the famous Sugya Mabatra, of all the strange things that happened to him at sea, Tichazili Urzila Derema Bat Yoma Mahave Kartavor. I saw a newborn Reim, and it was big as Hartavor. Hartavor Kamahave, how big was that? Arbain Parsi, that's 40 Parsaot, Parsangs. Masamashla Tzavareit Lata Parsi, the neck was 3 Parsaot. Rabata Duresha Parso Palga. It's a certain part of its body is a parsa and a half. A Makava Sacha Yardena, it would go to the bathroom and block up the Yardena. That's how big it was. Rav Yochanan Rosho Echnitz Teva. They put the head in the Teva and the rest of the animals outside. Amar Rabata Duresha Parso Palga. Even the head, the diameter of the head was 1 parsa and a half. Al Rosh Chotmo Echnitz Teva. They stuck the nose into the Teva. Rav Yochanan Lorad Mabul Eretz Yisrael. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, there was no Mabul, so why does the Re'em need? So why is Rabbi Yochanan answering here to help us out with the solution? He thinks there was no Mabul. The answer is the Divrei Shlokesh Kamar, saying you or Shlokesh think there was a Teva. This is how you would answer it. You think there was a Mabul in Eretz Yisrael. This is how you would answer how the Re'em was saved. But I, of course, think it was saved because it just came to Eretz Yisrael. There was no flood here. V'hakasagya Teva. But how did the Teva move? Shlokesh Karnav Kashru B'Teva. They tied the horns onto the side of the Teva. But after all, Rechista said that the water was boiling, so that if the thing was on the outside of the teva, it would die. Also, how did the ark itself move? Where's Ogmel HaBashan, who's so huge? There were all sorts of miracles that happened for these particular people. There was cold water just around the side of the teva, so that Og and this giant oryx could be saved. Okay. Well, the Rav Shimon Lakish, the Inami Diarad Mabul Eretz Yisrael, so he says there was a Mabul of a Halopash, but the people aren't there. Rav Shlokesh, how many Krashma Mitzula? Why is the depth called Mitzula? That all of the ones who died in the Mabul all went down like in an eddy into the middle of the earth. So they're not in Eretz Yisrael. They all went into like a single drain. Why is the land near Mesopotamia called Shinar? That they were all Shinar. They were all kind of swept to there. So the answer is, yeah, but something's going to be left. Even if all the bones and everything else went down, something's going to be left. Okay. Am Rabbi Avahu. This is a side thing about Shinar. Lamani Kwashma Shinar. Why is Bavel called Shinar? Shemina Eret Ashireha. It shakes up its wealthy people. We see wealthy people there. The answer is Tlatador Lomashchi. You never have a family lasts there for three generations with wealth. If anybody eats dirt of Bavel, why you'd want to do that is unclear. It's like you're eating the flesh of your ancestors, because that's where all the Meitei Mabul are, underground. Other people say, it's like you're eating these vermin and all that are all underground. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah mentioned the Sa'ir Mishtaleach. And it said the Sa'ir Mishtaleach, you're not chayav for offering it up b'chutz, because of El Petachot Mishkan Omoed. Where meaning we have the following challenge, our Pasuk says Korban. Shomer, I feel a kot she betek habayit sheniku Korban. After all, when you donate something to betek habayit, it's also called Korban. Shenemar, when they came back from the war with Midian with all the spoils, they said, "Vanakrevet korban Adonai." We brought this offering to Hashem, and these are not korbanot; these are gold and silver. So I would think that even that could be a problem for chutz. It's something that you don't bring to Ohel Moed. Something that doesn't need to be brought to Ohel Moed doesn't. Mishroi lo vobo Ohel Moed yatsukot shevetakamayit sheinan ruyin. They don't belong in Ohel Moed, therefore there's no problem. Otziat elu sheinan ruyin velotziat sermishtalech shu ra'ui lavo petachol moed. So I'm going to exclude Betek HaBayit, but I'm not going to exclude Sa'ir Mishtaleach, because the goat originally comes into the Mishkan. Tamud Lomar Lashem, therefore it says Lashem, you know, that something that you would normally bring Lashem, the Sa'ir Mishtaleach is not offered up to God. Let's see Sa'ir Mishtaleach, Shinam Yuchad Lashem. So the challenge between this Braita and our Mishnah is not whether you're Chayav, you're certainly exempt for Sa'ir Mishtaleach. The question is why? Petachol Moed or Lashem? The answer is Lokasha, Kan Kodem Hagrala. Before they do the lottery, it's determined which goat is Lashem and which goat is Lazazel. Before that, it's the Lashem excludes it. Kan Lachar Grala, but after the lottery, it's Petachol Moed. It doesn't belong there anymore. Wait a second. Achar Grala Nami Igevidui. Even after the Hagrala and after the coin does, there's the Shechita on the par and the Shechita on the other Sayer. He's going to do he does the vidui on the Sa'ir Lazazel before he sends it out. It has to be in there. Amramani lokasha kan kodem vidui kan lachar vidui. Before vidui, it is an issue of Lashem. After vidui, it doesn't belong anymore, and it's excluded by Petach HaMoed. Tosot points out, though, that before Hagrala, really, you're chayav if you take that Sa'ir outside, because you don't know which Sa'ir is going to be Lashem, which is going to be Lazazel. And he points out that it could also be Ra'ui for the Sa'ir Shala'am, which is brought as the regular Musaf for the day. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We're going to go back to Mishnah Bet at the beginning of the Perek, and then pick up at this point with our Oveh Avinir Bab. And in the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.